This is CliffCentral.com.
Beep 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 beep.
Please be aware that this show contains crude and foul language. If you are sensitive to topics like science or religion, we cordially invite you to please fuck off now. Thank you.
Many of us are perplexed, to say the least, by President Trump's recent UN address, particularly the ominous threats he made to, quote, totally destroy North Korea. What the hell was that?
Well, I think what you saw yesterday from the president was he was being honest.
Maybe that's why we didn't recognize it.
I know that, you know, people and countries don't want to hear it, but here is a man who continues to threaten our allies. He says he's going to destroy the United States to ashes.
Yeah, but enough about Donald Trump. Let's talk about North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, who the president has been taunting recently, both on and off social media, with the nickname Rocket Man. Do you really think that's a good idea?
I will tell you that, look, this is a way of, like, you know, getting people to talk about him, but every other internet...
He always takes to Twitter just to grumble, grouse, and gripe. He's having fun, but Kim Jong-un is not the playful type. I'm slightly more than panicked that this schmuck is gonna wipe us off the map by acting like a baby. He's playing cat and mouse, but he's the mouse among these men. He fires up his fan base with his talks at the UN. I'd rather he behaved more presidential, but again, he's acting like a tiny little baby. And though I know his followers are thrilled, he's gonna get us killed. How do you solve a problem like Korea? How do you sleep when missiles start to fly? How do you not have constant diarrhea when all of our lives depend upon this guy? Many a name you know you'd like to call her, but certain things are better left unsaid. 'Cause how can you do the trick with childish rhetoric? How can two tiny men have such big heads? Ooh, how do you solve a problem like Korea when you're a crazy dotard?
Dotard.
Dotard. Or a dotard, I'm sorry.
Author's mad.
Rocket Man is on a suicide mission for himself. The United States is ready, willing, and able. But hopefully, Rocket Man.
It's gonna be a long, long time till touchdown finally brings him back to mind. He's not the man they think he is at home. Oh, no, no, no. He's a rocket man. Rocket man. Burning on his shoes out there alone.
Kim Jong-un saying he takes President Trump's threats personally, so he has been rattled.
It's gonna be a long, long time till this dude finally does something right. You'd think his tiny brain would finally grow. Oh, no, no, no.
Dotard.
Dotard.
He's a rocket man. Rocket man. Gonna start a world war with his phone.
They will be met
with fire and fury,
the likes of which this world has never seen before.
Oh, Jesus.
How do you solve a problem like Korea? How do you get them not to drop a bomb? How do you calm their autocratic leader?
Just tell him his hair looks dumb and go, your mom. Trust me, that shit always works.
Why does your mouth have constant diarrhea when you're supposed to be a diplomat?
Your imbecilic insults could have apocalyptic results. Just tweet him and say, hey, Kim, your ass is fat. Don't.
Oh, how do you solve a problem like Korea?
And by the way, Rocket Man should have been handled a long time ago. Little Rocket Man.
Girl.
No.
Rocket Man.
Dotard.
Oh, 10 out of 10 for Randy. Rainbow. He's so good. He is so good. And takes care with production. I love him. Good morning, Gavin.
Good morning, Casper, and good morning to all our listeners.
Good morning. O God, jy kan nie in sy mond smelt vanmorgen nie. Hy is so dierbaar. And Shemaine, good morning.
I get a mention?
Yes.
God, you worked so hard. That intro was epic. Really. That was
guy
well done.
Works
well done.
Himself. Oor a mik, hy's so goed. But he's like a cult figure now in America. And then Rian, it is with pleasure and an absolute sense of joy that I welcome you to the show.
Oh, thank you very much. What an introduction.
It is, eh?
Wow.
Get with the program. Mm. Hoekom het jy so liefie vermoor?
I think it is one pill too many. And I'm hearing music, I'm buzzing. Can't you hear anything, Gavi?
I feel deaf. Like, so this...
So draai jou volume knopje, my engel.
I'm doing things.
No, nie dit nie, jou volume knopje. Ja, daai.
Toets, 1, 2, 3.
Is it al beter?
It's a little bit better.
Okay. Gavin, won't you read for us?
Yes.
Out of Exodus, no. The WhatsApp number for all brothers and sisters so that they can WhatsApp us.
Yes, please. We want to hear from you. I almost said we want to listen from you. Our WhatsApp number in the studio is 079-748-2090.
Dan verskyn dit hier op 'n screen en dan kan ons dit lees.
Ja.
Maar as oulik wees as jy jou naampie ook by dit skryf.
Please.
En daai nommer dan in die taal is...
Wat het al? Of Afrikaans, 079-784-2090. Gavin is nog bietjie besig om te slaap, it seems.
Nee.
Wakker geword.
Ek maak grallas. Okay, so now, Shemaine, Gavin, Rian. Okay, Rian must be the youngest, is he? Of us all?
In all probability.
Okay, you others, you're going to hear this question. He most probably will not have an answer. But let's hear. Rian, do you remember the soft shoes?
No. No, sorry.
The soft shoes.
I got hit for tackies, not any soft shoes.
Oh. Okay, the soft shoes was a band. See, a boy band.
Oh.
I don't remember, dance band. Gavin, do you remember the soft shoes?
Admittedly, no.
Well,
if I was born in the 70s, should I know them?
Mm, yeah.
Does it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You should, because you were 14. When were you born?
70s, 14.
It's 1977.
Oh, no, you were very young.
2 o'clock the afternoon.
Really? That's what? Good omen, eh?
Mm.
2 o'clock.
Now people can do your astrology card.
Shemaine, you were born in the 40s. Do you remember the soft shoes?
You're just jealous because I'm older than you are. But anyway, I remember the name. I remember hearing it, but no.
You remember it vaguely.
Yes, yeah. I mean, being born in the 40s, hello. It's about a time that my brain starts conking it.
See, I remember them because I was born in the 60s. So I was just finishing school when the soft shoes happened. So that will be our special guest today. Will be Jervis Pennington from the Soft Shoes.
Is that how you pronounce Jervis?
Jervis, yes, please, not Jarvis. Jervis. Jervis. I hope you remembered. But it's in the Monte Cassino, so they must have told him to come. He's got a show, and he was part of the Soft Shoes, but we will talk about that.
Was he also born in the 40s?
That we must find out. Mm-hmm. I think he was born in the 50s.
Okay.
Was it a pop band or a pop boy group? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They won a talent search. But why I'm hesitant to ask Gavin or Shemaine is because it was in the midst of the end of apartheid.
Oh.
So it was SABC 1, SARUK 1. So I don't know whether they bothered or cared to watch the white cock.
I had to because my... I grew up on a farm, and we were told Die Witman is better and even worse than Hitler. That's a true story. It's not a joke. We were told. We were told.
The curriculum
and
offer.
I,
yeah.
And you, Charmaine, were you a revolutionary fighter?
I was out there. I was like,
you didn't watch.
I did not watch. The literature I read was not white. I think the only white person I loved was Clint Easton.
Clint who?
Easton. Eastwood. You see, that's the memory. And the
1940s.
Clint Southwood.
Dirty Harry.
1940s. It was like 1940s. But yeah, I remember I grew up during the time of the unrest. So you wanted was to just get rid of De Boere, just fuck him up if you could. And you just, so there was a new train of thought that started going, but then I'm a lot older than you. So the train of thought that was like, Die Witman is bitter. And when that shit hit, we were like,
I succumbed.
I understand. I mean, there's still the there's still that thought in a lot of colored communities that go, Die Witman is bitter. So I mean, it's going to be like generational. To try and get it out.
Yeah. But any case, so Jervis was in that time. So we've got to talk about that as well with him
about that time.
About that time.
You might have something in common in terms of the person that you gave me to.
That's why the soft poopy.
Yeah. Yes, this man, my brain is
the
fried.
Soft
Where are you today? Go home, go fetch some man and bring her back.
The soft poopies.
Soft poopies.
But there's one. You see, Jervis has got a very interesting story. Very interesting story.
Can't wait.
Yeah, yes.
Fast.
That is why I climbed onto the soft poopy, which ties in. I was in Cape Town now. I came back yesterday, and it was wonderful weather. And as we were flying, I saw Robin Aland so beautifully.
Oh, wow.
And
we saw the pictures. Mm. It looks beautiful.
Yes. And then it's my island, actually. You see, in a way.
Explain.
It's like koi family. It's like kuku family.
My koi family had it geran, Robin Aland. Say, Kurtua and Aman, they were like the general managers of Robben Island. I wanted.
Did you get any dibs on the movie or the story with Kurtua?
I did not, but I'm gonna have Kurtua here. We've made contact.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Not the real one, not through Maria Tatianasen, but Crystal.
Yay, amazing.
Yeah. Awesome.
That would be amazing. Because she is brilliant in that movie.
I heard.
Oh, yeah, you took our tickets, didn't you? I had a misfortune, and so suddenly you also had a misfortune, Cassie.
Yes, I had a misfortune.
Supposed to be your date.
Fortune in my brook, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Did you have a misfortune?
No, remember, we were going to go.
Yeah,
and then I had to go to Cape Town.
It's interesting how I forget things that never happened. Then I just wipe them. So I can't remember anymore. I just remember I didn't go.
It's fine. I'm just sorry that I have to go to having dates with Casper. I mean, can't I get a straight guy to go on dates with?
No.
No.
Charmaine, loved by the fags. we had a Mr. Gay World Southern Africa Award last Saturday. Gavin was there. So was Betty.
Betty was featured.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Betty was featured. Mm. So Gavin.
Sorry, Gavin, don't look so jealous.
No. He was featured as well. They showed him on screen.
Oh.
Gavin. Yeah.
Even though I didn't say a word.
You didn't say a word. No, you didn't say one.
Casper was super funny. Oh. But first things first, I need to say that I'm very proud of Betty. Our colleague, our radio colleague, for being honored on such an on such a platform, you know. We'll talk about the platform now, but she was honored for her beautiful and contribution to the gay community of South Africa through her show Betty Bangles Any Dorsa,
especially with the Afrikaans community,
the conservative Afrikaans community.
Okay, but enough of that. Now let's talk about
sorry, Betty.
Let's talk about the night. Were you, what was right, what was wrong? Have you got misgivings?
So
have I.
The wrong stands out for me.
The wrong?
The winner was a bit weak for me. I'm sorry. I would, and coming from, I judge a competition as well now, right? So I'm a judge, so I know and understand the process. So when you sit in the audience, then they announce a winner. So then you're like, I like that one better. But you weren't part of the interview process. On that night, they had like a Q&A, or the contestants could read like questions from the judges who were sitting in the audience, and they answer, right? Die wenner was maar poever geweest met sy antwoord. I would have wanted runner-up number one or second prince to win, not the first one. The first one appeared to be very weak to me.
Wat het hy gesê? Wat in die terme wat nou weak was?
Ek kan nie.
Dit is daai gewaffel.
Ja, presies. Like hy typical pageant answers. Daar's 'n website www.typicalpageantanswers.com. Jy kan net daarop gaan.
Wow. The guy who came third, I wanted him to win. What was his name?
I forget, but are you talking about the big one or the small one?
The tall one, the tall guy.
The tall guy.
He should have won.
He won two
other
awards.
The other one was so feminine. He won two other awards, Mr. This and Mr. That. The other one was a bit more femme.
The other one was very femme.
And he came second.
He was a proper girl.
He was girly whirly.
Yeah.
We want a man.
And the one, our favorite was Susan. He was bold. You could see he's gay-ish,
yeah.
But... He still like has that. He's still got a little bit of man in him, and his gebou.
Okay, now you have to sort that one out for my head.
No, I have
you
to tell you,
he's gay, but he still had a little bit of man in him. I thought you're a man anyway. I help me.
Oh, don't be like that. You know, that's how we talk.
Vast www.answershermaine.com.
Shermaine, let me tell you something. Yes, what bothered darling. Me, and I think you will identify, what bothered me is that the organizers of this competition, and there's every year there's a new fucking organizer, but the new organizers of this year are all white, middle-aged, overweight. They look like me. I could have been a judge as well.
Wow.
Men. And so the winner reflected that, and I didn't like that at all.
Okay. Yeah,
you understand?
Agreed. Yeah, totally.
I wondered about the judges earlier when you were talking, but you know, I wasn't there, so. But now that Cassie is saying it, it makes sense that you go for what's familiar.
It just looked to me like, okay, I'm giving you 2,000 rand towards the pageant. I'm a judge, but very random. I mean, for me, the judge. The profile of the judge kind of need to blend into the brand of the competition.
But they the organizers. Aren't they the organizers?
Mm-mm.
They're not the organizers.
No.
Ons praat van die judges.
Nee, ek praat van albei, sorry.
Okay.
Want van die organizers was judges.
Oh, yes, of course.
Yeah. So op die einde toe het hulle ons nou allemaal opgekom. Het is allemaal like allemaal dieselfde. I just wanted to say that someone wrote, hoo-hoo, luister jy hulle, lief jylle, hoo-hoo. Thank you very much, darling.
Is that his name? Hoo-hoo.
No, there's no fucking name.
So we'll call
no name. At least we've got some. Oh, if you're
thanks
listening
for the
now,
kudos.
And you don't remember Jervis Pennington, please write in with questions, okay? Before he comes.
Jervis.
Jesus. Jervis.
Jervis.
Jervis Christ. Rian, wat se dansers het ons vandag? Wat se styl? Wat se verrassing het jy vir ons?
Ons het die Hizzy. Belly dances, he saw.
I've seen that as he's done.
This is Snoop Double Jizzle, Hizzle Nizzle.
How do you spell that? With a Y or was it
Shizzle Manizzle?
H-I-Z.
H-I-Z-I-E.
Let's get Taryn in.
Taryn.
And then we talk to her with you.
Sounds very Cape Flats.
Hissy.
Hissy, your nanas. Hisa, koisa.
Taryn Sidney, hi, welcome to the show. Sorry we plucked you there from out from the sky and here you are.
No problem.
We were wondering why. What does we see easy?
Okay. Hizzy Hizzy actually pronounced Hizzy Hizzy.
Oh, sorry.
Oops.
Yes, but I mean, obviously, for our audience, we just say Hizzy Hizzy.
Uh-huh.
And it actually means to shimmy in Arabic, which is the core one of the core movements of belly dancing. Yes.
Oh, is that shimmy?
Yes.
What are you doing, Gavin? Gavin, I need you now, hey? I need you now to take pictures.
Yes.
Of a live cinema.
As live shimmy.
Why?
Live
because shimmy, I'm good shimmy. At it.
Because you are very good. You climb underneath the couches and you really...
Oh, I thought you were going to be shimming with us.
No, he's going to record you.
You really should. I could record and you shimmy with him. Oh, that could teach you.
No.
Only if he wears the outfit.
It's very rare that he says no.
Oh, okay. No, that's fine.
But Gavin is the kind of guy who would like to shimmy.
Who has fun.
I saw that you were on South Africa's Got Talent with Tuts.
Yes,
oh,
we
I love
Tuts too. Yeah, we all
love Tuts. Yeah, he's so great. And when was this?
Okay, this was in 2015.
Just now. Okay. Mm. And did the competition, did you enjoy it? Was it good for you?
It was wonderful and also very challenging at the same time. They definitely gave us many trials and tribulations to get through to the semifinals. Yes.
Who are they? The they?
The producing company.
Oh, really?
But we had a wonderful experience, and it also was a great learning experience for myself and the ladies which you'll be seeing just now dancing with
well,
me.
Well, 2 years
it
later...
Was wonderful bringing the team together and working hard, and it was really challenging to get everything perfectly on point and right for the camera, but it was a great opportunity to get there and perform with such wonderful artists.
You see, Gavin, he's your camera today.
So just can I just say I'm mesmerized by your outfit.
Thank you.
Like how's that
two of us.
Yeah, how's that one that almost looks like a see-through? She's got a top on. I need to explain to the listener. But it looks see-through, but now I'm focused on that and I'm seeing okay.
Oh, you're
it's,
focused are you on that.
It's part. No, I'm very gay. I'm very gay. So I'm not a stalker. Okay,
can we just stop this? Because you're gay doesn't mean it's not cute.
It's beautiful.
Because how many men in this industry are the ones who make women look good?
Definitely.
So thank you, Shumane.
In this particular case, one of the ladies outside, Pavia, her mom actually made this team outfit.
Wow.
So my mom makes outfits, Julia's mom makes outfits, Pavia's mom makes outfits. Some of the outfits do come from overseas, though. We get a lot of our outfits from Egypt and stuff. Wow.
Well, it sounds like you enjoy it very much.
Oh, I love what we do.
And are you like open for bookings?
Yes. This is what we do.
Mercedes-Benz is a gala. Then they can invite you.
Exactly. We all have day jobs, but this is our passion and this is what we do.
Great.
And basically all of us are performing every weekend. We have regular gigs, we have corporate gigs. We really love what we do.
Oh, well, thanks for being here.
Is it growing?
Well.
Is the shimmying thing growing?
Definitely.
Is it?
Definitely. From when I first started belly dancing 20 years ago to now, it's a totally different industry.
Really?
And not only locally, also foreign and overseas, and the dynamics of it. I mean, it's an art. It's changing like any other art form is changing and growing and developing, as well as it's becoming a lot more accepted and known in this country as well. Obviously, it's not a cultural dance to South Africa. It's a cultural dance to Middle Eastern countries. It's definitely becoming accepted and enjoyed in this country.
So when I got to know about it a long while ago, it was very sexualized. Is it still like that?
No,
or is it now?
No. I mean,
is it coming into its own as in its...
You know what? It depends on the dancer.
Okay.
If a particular dancer decides to make it sexual, then that's her thing. We don't.
Sure.
We don't. We perform for all sorts of audiences, from little girls' 8-year-old birthday parties to kitchen teas, to corporate, to weddings, to...
But you all look like
don't
princesses.
Don't do bachelors, though.
No, for sure.
One more. I heard it's very good for pregnant women, this dancing.
Well, one of the theories of how belly dancing came about was not just to entertain pharaohs. Was actually the Middle Eastern ladies used to dance amongst themselves. Obviously, the music gives birth to the art and the culture. But they used to dance amongst themselves, and it helps through pregnancy. So throughout the pregnancy and post-pregnancy. And it strengthens all the right muscles because it's very obviously core dependent as well.
That's why I must take it up, I think.
You and me both.
Now, how did you stumble upon this?
Oh, it's actually thanks to my mom.
Ah.
Yes. Now, I've been a dancer my whole life. I started with tap and modern and all of that stuff when I was 4 years old. And then my mom went to Egypt and she saw belly dancing there and loved it. She came back, she found a teacher, started dancing. And only after about 6 years, she finally convinced me to start classes. And I was like, no, mom, it's only old ladies in the class. And she's like, just come, just come. And that was when I was 11 years old. And, yeah, it just went full steam ahead. By the time I was 14, I was already performing professionally.
Wow.
Sure.
Yeah.
And tell us about the beautiful ladies outside and their names.
So
let's give them a little shout-out.
Very honored to have these lovely ladies here with me. All three of them are part of my Hizzy Hizzy group. They all learnt with me. So we'll start with Julia. Julia's been with me for, 11 years,
I
think.
Let's hear it for Julia.
Julia!
Woo! Cassidy, the lovely lady to the right hand side. I know the listeners.
Cassidy,
can't see.
I love that name.
That's for our purposes.
Cassidy DeFries.
Cassidy Wolski Prince.
Her mom brought her to me when she was 3 years old.
What?
What?
Wow. Yes. And you can see she's a lovely grown lady now.
Wow.
Amazing. Yes. And then we have Pavia's been with me for 7 years.
What's her name?
Pavia.
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 And to all the men listening, they are all smoking hot. Just so that you
and
know.
Thank you.
Beautiful.
Beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
So, Gavin.
Yes, sir.
Will you get your homosexual ass out of here?
I shall indeed.
And will you accompany Taryn and show me with a nice thumb when you're ready, and I'm going to start playing the music when you're
exciting.
All
exciting.
Are you going to give me a short intro for my video? Or must I just go?
Yeah, okay.
I mean, how can you not give
four,
a short intro?
3, 2,
yeah.
1.
Hi, this is not live. We're going to go live just now in 5 minutes time so that Facebook won't take it off, because sometimes they are bastards. We are going to look at the Hissy Hissy group, and they are four wonderful creatures, and they're going to do a dance with a bella. With a bella. Okay, so Gavin, if you can go with Taryn, that's Taryn, everyone.
Hi.
And
looking gorgeous.
When you're ready, are you going to show me? And I'm going to play the music that must accompany this beautiful dance. Now, Rian, do you know how long this is?
2 minutes.
Is it? Mm. Okay.
Shame. They rehearsed. They actually had a rehearsal last night to fit everything in for us and take out the fire. And
I want a fire.
No.
Where's the fire?
Mr. Cliff was a bit nervous.
We didn't start the fire. It was always burning since the world been turning.
Alrighty.
Ladies and gentlemen, here on the Casper Radio Show, we are proud to present the
Hissy Hissy. They will look like beautiful mermaids.
They do. They remind me of the mermaid. And here we go.
I have to see this. Woo! Look at that!
Yay! Casper's
Radio Show. That was wonderful. Culture. And it was culture.
That was great, eh?
Wow.
La Comédie Marquise.
Stuff that extravaganzas are built on.
That was great, Taryn and girls.
Well,
and you
done,
got messages
ladies.
Here from people who send you love. I don't know Mikhail, but he loves you all very much. I'll be worried if I were you. And he really sends his love. You are wonderful. He says, how was that, Gavi? did you do it?
That was amazing. the reason why I'm so out of breath was because I wanted to perfect my skill even more. Like I went everywhere. I was in the sky now. I usually I'm a floor person really when I do these videos, but I was up in the sky.
That was impressive, Taryn.
Thank you.
You guys really have taken it to a new level. You normally get just the normal belly dancing in restaurants, but this looks like a production.
Thank you very much.
Oh wow.
Very thank you. That's an honor coming from you.
Oh, thank you very much.
Our in-house entertainment expert.
In a few moments, this dance will be on the Casper de Vries Facebook fan page.
Yay!
Yeah, it's a long sentence. And then it's going to cross over to the Casper radio show. It's just going to pollinate.
Oh, we love
you know,
it.
We love pollination.
That was lovely.
That was great. Yeah, I loved it. And I loved the sashes and the stuff.
And it wasn't as short as the last time. It just like went. When one thinks you're going to stop and then you just add some more. You know?
Especially when the whoop came out.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Like love it.
Drama.
So well done.
I know a lot of people do not know this or don't care, but Consistory is our soap.
Yes.
It's time to continue with the saga.
Yay!
Of the people of Korn van Aswegen and his cronies. So
yay!
Shall we go?
Yay! Awesome!
Hello? Papa? Steve Papa Korn? Hallo? Wat? Ek hoor een gepraat daar in die eetkamer. Wie is die vrou? Papa?
Ah, kom in Marcel. Hallo my kind. Is onthou jy van Hannelie van Rooyen?
Hallo Marcel, ons het een keer ontmoet by een diens wat jou pa gelei het.
So keier julle nou bietjie.
Ja, nee, sy is 'n dierbare. Sy onderskraag my.
Ja, op hierdie stadium is ek en jou pa net vriende, maar baie goeie vriende.
Ja.
Dit is nog nie asof jy my nou al mama hoef te noem nie.
Ja. Ek kon nie lelik papa wat ruik so. Dis asof is die garbage nog nie uitgesit nie.
Ek weet nie waarvan jy praat nie.
Ek dink ek kan dalk verklaar. In oorleg met mevrou Ziele se plan om water te spaar in die Kaap, het ek besluit dat ek ook slegs 2 maal 'n week met grijswater bad, om sodoende te verseker dat ons die aarde se kosbaarste bron kan bespaar.
Ooh, jo. Ok, wel, julle moet lekker aangaan. Ek gaan nou weer weg. Want ek is eintlik veronderstel om ondergronds te wees. Maar Tannie Annelie reik ondergronds. Bye.
Tot ziens, Marcel. Wees voorsichtig.
Ach, hy is een oulike kind, Kon. Rarig.
Krijf jy nog een beetje koffie? En daai brosterkie kom van Sybrand se bakkerij.
Oeh, ja, ek gaan nog gereeld sien toe. Dit is heerlik.
Baie lekker.
Nou sê vir my, Kon, kon jy toe regkom met die sosiale netwerke?
Ja, Hannelie, dankie vir jou leiding daar. Ek ken nou nie die interweb so goed nie, maar kyk, ons het mos nou laas vir my, dat ek net vir die skoot rekenaar water sleep. Ons het mos my nou op Facebook gesit, Maar nou die ander ding wat ek gelees het is Instagram.
Ja, dis nogal 'n oulike ding. Van my tweede huwelik het ek mos 3 kinders gehad. En die kinders is al ewig op die Instagram, stuur vir my foto's en allerlei dinge van die kinders, die klein kinders agter so lekker.
Is dit meer vir foto's dan?
Ja, maar mooi foto's. Partykeer sit mense die vieslikste goede op, so met maar mooi kyk.
Presies. Ja, nee, ek sal moet ondersoek instel. En dan het iemand ook gesê Twitter.
Skies, sê geweer.
Twitter.
Ja, as jy 'n voeltjie hoor fluit, dan is dit jou Twitter profiel wat nou net geraas het.
Oh, dit is die voeltjie. Ja nee, ek het hom al gesien, so blou voel.
Ja, dis hom ja, so klein blou voel.
Ah, okay, so, kom ons kyk gou hier, die Facebook wat ons opgestel het, kom van Aswegen. En dan is dit Ebenezer die slagspreuk. Dis hy.
Genugtig, maar jou profiel het gegroei in die laaste tyd.
Is dit?
Ja, kyk, ek kan sien daarbo wat daai gesiggies is. Dis nou al jou friend requests. Dis nou almal wat graag met jou kontak wil maak.
Wat my profiel gesien het.
Ja.
O, maar kyk net. Raskaya Velaska.
Sy
is kaal.
Ek's nou nie iemand om te oordeel nie, maar dit lyk asof dit net jong hierbare dames uit Rusland is wat op jou profiel is. Wat soek jy op die internet gewoonlik?
Nee, ek sweer dat dit, ek het dit nie. Hierdie is 'n friend request. Jy sien, dit is mense van buite af. Kyk daai
ja,
dame.
Koen, ek weet regtig nie wat om te sê nie.
Ek weet nie van hierdie interwebs.
En jy is 'n man van die kleed.
Ek weet, en ek wil nie hierdie kaal Russiese vroue sien nie. Kyk daai in sy hare.
Ek gaan delete. Ja, Koen, delete maar eerder. Ja.
Annelie,
wat is jy vir my 'n virus gee?
Nee, jy kan tog nie. Ek is Dominikon. Ek weet niks van hierdie. Jy het my gelei na die Facebook. Ons het 'n profielietjie oopgemaak en nou ewe skielik,
laat ek raai, as jy vir my pornografiese materiaal stuur, dan gaan jy vir myself sê jy was net gehack.
Wat is gehack?
Dit is as hierdie vrouens dit reg kry om in jou profiel in te gaan en dan stuur hulle allerlei vieslike boodskappe en foto's en dinge. Maar die enigste manier hoe dit gebeur is as jy iets oopgemaak het wat jy nie moes nie.
Nee, een van hulle sal aan my profiel vat nie. Nee, Annelie.
Ek weet nie of jy bedoel is vir die interview.
Annelie, nee. Ek wou maar net, jy weet, mens raak so agter met die jong mense en ek wou maar net bykom, maar ek dink ek gaan
ek alles. Ek dink jy wil hulle bykom.
dit is nie soos dit. So ek dink wat jy doen is jy gaan vat 'n lekker stot en ek delete al hierdie dinge.
Ja, ek dink dit is beter so.
Oh, genadig. Sy brand. Koperkapel. Ek het al 3 ure wat ek met hierdie blinddoek sit, ek sweet.
Rita, ek dink jy gaan hierdie verrassing ongelooflik baie geniet, hè? Jy het mos gesê jy's 'n buitelug mens en ja. jy hou van allerlei diertjies en jy skenk geld aan die SPCA en alles. So toe dink ek kombineer daai elemente en ek gee vir jou 'n middag wat jy nooit sal vergeet nie.
Wel, ek gaan nooit hierdie middag vergeet, wel clownie sy brand palmkak, want ek is nou al 3 ure geblinddoek. Maar ek hoop dit is nie moeite werd. Hoe naby is ons aan die teken?
Hier is ons nou. Ons is by 'n lekker watergat. En daarmee bedoel ek nie 'n kroeg nie. Ek bedoel letterlik 'n watergat.
Haal die blinddoek af.
Tada!
Sybrand?
Ja, ek het onthou jy het voorheen gesê dat jy baie van die wildtuin hou.
Oh.
En ek het seker gemaak dat ons nou 'n goeie tyd van die jaar kom as dit klaar gereën het en alles, so al die diere gaan hier by die water gaan kom. Kyk, daar kan jy 'n muskeljaadkat sien.
Ja, holar! Holar! Ooh, kyk hoe pragtig. Ek het nog nooit 'n muskeljaadkat gesien nie.
Ja, en as ons gelukkig is, wragtig, daar sien ons 'n olifant. Een renoster, een buffel, een leeuw en een luipaard, die hele groot vijf in een gauw.
Joe!
Maar nou, Sybrand,
ek dink dit is nodig om uit te klim, nie? Is dit nie gevaarlik nie?
Ach nee, ons is heeltemal fine. Die ou wat die game drive georganiseer het, het gesê, solank ek net hierdie pistool by my het, sal ons raad wees.
Pas op, Sybrand, die olifant storm op jou af. Pas op, kom, klim terug, klim terug.
Dit was naby.
Maar nou staan hy hier, kyk vir my.
Kyk hoe kyk hy vir jou inderdaad. Hy herken skoonheid as hy dit sien.
Satijnvurkie.
Ah. So, Rita, ek het gedink, nou dat dit lekker goed gaan met my besigheid, is dit ook 'n goeie tyd om jou saam met my na die wildtuin toe te bring, dat ons dan gesels om te hoor of jy dalk belangstel om nog 'n kapitaalbelegging te maak.
Wat maak so?
Ek dink dis 'n witkruis aan, as ek het nie mis het nie.
Wow.
Of dis 'n neushoring voel.
Dit is absoluut pragtig. Wat sê jy van wat, kapitaal?
Ag, ja, terwyl ons hier so in die natuur is en kan besin oor die wêreld en die lewe en alles, toe dink ek dis dalk ook 'n goeie tyd om te gesels oor hoe ons my Bitcoin besigheid dalk bietjie kan uitbrei, miskien 'n bietjie groter gaan. Ek kan regtig daarmee doen om nog harde ware aan te skaf. Ek myn baie lekker, maar Bitcoin is duur, jy weet, en kyk, daar's 'n meerkat.
Oh, kyk, daai goedjies is so skattelik. Blykbaar sy brand is hulle baie gevaarlik. Maar mens wil hulle net soen.
Nee, jy moet versigtig wees. Hulle kan nogal hondsdol raak.
Wat doen hulle? Hulle is vir my altyd so snaaks gebou.
Ja, hulle sê mos, dis 'n dier met 'n sin vir humor. Hulle lag vir alles. En weet jy wat, as jy nou dalk 'n bietjie ekstra geldjies belê by my besigheid, dan kan jy ook heel dag lag, soos 'n hyena.
Bro, padda.
Ja, daar is ene.
Kyk daar! Jy sê, goed is groot, ne? Kyk daar wange. Dit lyk of hulle kougom kou.
Hulle sê brilpadda is in die boeddhistiese kultuur 'n teken van geluk. En dit nou terwyl ek met jou praat oor besigheid. Hierso is daar bewys dat geluk in ons toekoms is.
Poeftakkies. Ja. Sybrand, ek weet net nie of ek nog ietsie oor het nie, want jy het so die hele tyd dit getrek en getransfer.
Nee, dit kan nie wees nie.
Oh, kyk daar, prachtige. Dit is vlakvarkies.
Ach, fokkie vlakvarkies. Rita, ek gaan moet skoon kom.
Wat?
Die Bitcoin story het niks gewerk nie. Ek weet niks van rekenaars af nie. Ek het nog nooit nie. Ek het grysparte gekoop. En ek het gedag jy stuur regtig miners af op die screen. En dis iets heeltemal anders. Ek weet nie eers wat 'n Bitcoin regtig is nie. En al die geld. Ek dink ek het meeste van dit klaar verloor. Ek gaan 'n tweede verband op die bakkery moet uitneem. Dit is nog 'n probleem. Ek was maande laas in die bakkery. Ek dink hy is ook besig om ten gronde te gaan. Ek weet nie wat ek gaan doen nie, Rita.
Hou my net vas, Sybra. Laat ons nou maar sterf in die kake van 'n lekker waan.
Kyk, 'n eland.
Ons terug met die wel en weer van die konse storie. wat lank stil was. En Rian, het jy dit geniet?
Dit was awesome geweest.
Awesome?
Ek baie daarvan gehou, vir al die eland.
Ja, die eland was, heren, maar weet jy hoe duur was om daai eland in te kry? Wow! Rian, was jy hier toe ons vir Emma van Heyn nie gehad het?
Nee, ek was.
Was jy hier, Shemaine? Nee, Kevin, jy was. We remember Emma.
Yes, I do. Wasn't I still have a CD in my car.
Good. I'm glad because you know what happened today? She's got a new track out.
What?
She's got a new track out.
And we're going a new one that's not on our.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And then the stuff that's on the CD is so really so amazing.
Now she's got a new one. I haven't listened to it myself yet, so I'm going to listen with you.
Is there a description? Are we going to listen to it together?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
First I've got to play.
She's really amazing.
Casper radio show out there. I must first play that. That's our intro.
The Casper Radio Show, out there.
You see? Ooh.
Well done.
And now we're going to listen to Emma. Rian, thank you for bringing us these wonderful hissies.
Thank you very much, guys.
And we'll see you again next week, waiting in anticipation
of
what you're going to bring us.
Cool. It's going to be fun. Thank you very much, guys. Always lovely to see you.
Yeah.
Baie lief vir julle almal.
Ons is lief vir jou.
Sien julle volgende week.
Bye. He says Emma van
and your mess were.
I'm busy.
Bye.
Don't talk over me when I'm announcing. That's like so rude.
I'm trying to flirt with Rian. What's your problem?
Ooh.
I know.
Emma van Heyn with Pageant Queen.
You have a clear line of vision that I find kinda weird. You're moved by your own reflection in the rearview mirror. As you cruise past what's real in your broken carriage, with your eye on the prize, taking full advantage of your face. Look at me, you see, I'm the definition of what you'll never be. Take my hand, follow me. Perfectly disguised. This is not your pageant queen. This is not your pageant queen. Holding fast, moving, burning fire for your campaign. No one wants to see the flash, cause this is not your pageant queen. Holding fast, moving, burning fire, are you insane? Flashing your big spectacle, but this is not your pageant queen. You think your thoughts have a purpose, making everyone stay. You make a false contribution, stuck in your own ways. You choose to be cruel, dragging too much baggage, ready to attack the ones who see your disgrace. Queen. Holding that moving, burning fire for your campaign. No one wants to see the flash, cause this is not your pageant queen. Holding that moving, burning fire, are you insane? Flashing your big spectacle, but this is not your
This is not your pageant queen.
Holding fast, moving, burning fire for your campaign. No one wants to see the flash, cause this is not your pageant queen. Holding fast, moving, burning fire for your campaign. No one wants to see the flash, cause this is not your pageant queen. Holding fast, moving, burning fire, are you insane? Flashing your face.
Yes, that was Emma van Heyn. Congratulations, Emma.
It's a strangest boot.
That is
That's taboo, eh?
Yeah, that's another song of hers.
Emma, shush. What did I want to say now?
You wanted to welcome our guest.
I didn't know yet, but I wanted to say that we're going to speak to our guest just now. I'm going to play a bit of nostalgia for me. I was in Matric when the Soft Shoes won. So I remember them very well. And so I enjoyed a show that Jervis Bennington is now doing at the Monte Cassino Theatre about those times and about his life. And it's an incredible story.
Wow.
But let's play. Okay, I must confess, this was from YouTube through a North Korean's anus. So it's not well recorded, but you will get, if you know Elvis is there, you will get a bit of an idea of what it was like, and you will get to hear that song again. So let's have
He can walk and he can talk and he can shake his knees. He's the king of shake the rattle, roll. And he can pop and he can cry and pop and snake so light.
The whole thing. Usually I fade songs, but not the whole thing, because it all comes back. I remember every bash and boom of the song. Jervis, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Casper.
Woo! Yay! It's like, yeah, you still are my hero, because that's ingrained in me. I saw you there. You were all fresh. It looked like you from a factory band, like fresh, and I don't know, the colors were like pink and bright, light blue, am I right?
Pastels.
Green.
Pastels. You see, I'm looking for words. Pastels.
It didn't really come out the way we hoped, because I was a Motown freak, and what I wanted to be was like the Temptations or the Miracles, but it kind of, also my American cousins gave me a preppy influence, so it ended up being a bit of a watered down, cleaner version of Motown than I intended.
Well, I can understand that, because you've got to play for the what we say, check is public. Mm. And, you know, it's television. You can't go too deep. Mm. Hey?
But I love the whole Motown sort of groove thing and the little routines. And
yeah,
the,
you did a lot of that.
Yeah.
You did a lot of songs. And, well, like Elvis said, every beat, every change, everything, it's, we remember that as fans. It's so nice to hear it again because it was
I counted 34 years, I think.
Wow. 34 years. 34 years. Yeah. And I'm 40 now, which means I was too young.
You were six.
I was too young.
Now, I tested them this morning. Yeah. They can't remember. But I'm sure Gareth can.
Who's them, white boy?
Where's Gareth?
Gareth,
do you remember the soft shoes? They don't. Oh, fuck. Gareth. Oh, this is a big challenge for me. Wait, this is a big challenge. I must go for Mike. Just hang on. Gareth's going to talk now. I must... Oh, Jesus. I must go source. Gareth, I'm with you now, Gareth. Barrington. What the fuck is that?
Okay, here comes your
what
rescue.
What must I do?
She's going to help you now.
Donkey. I was nearly there, Gareth. Hello. Oh, God. Why am I playing this?
It's me.
Oh. I've got a fright, Gareth.
What do you want to know?
Are you well?
Yeah, I'm good. Lekker.
I haven't seen
Always.
You. So you remember Jervis and the soft shoes?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, you're a bit younger than me.
No, no, no. My parents had the albums and records.
Yes.
Yes.
How many? There were five.
LPs. Four.
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 Four of you.
Yeah.
Who else was in there?
Darren Magnuson, yes. Not Darren Scott, that was a legend that came on later.
Yes.
Tinus Maria and Roy Bramwell.
Yeah, man, I remember you guys.
Yeah.
How cool.
Yeah, he's got a show now at the Monte Cassino, and I just, it washed away so many years and the memories he brought back. So it's great to have him here, and I know that you would know as well.
Yeah, no, it's very cool.
Yeah, like, oh, thanks, Gareth.
Awesome.
Okay, bye.
Validating your experience.
Yes, I must, because you just sit there and you know, fuck. Now,
no, come on. No, and you know what?
What?
Actually went and just read a little bit when you were like, I was like, yeah, that music. But when I heard the music, I was like, okay, I remember those tunes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but don't as per the history and the what, and the, yeah.
The who.
That's a different story.
I think that's what the show is about, probably.
Well, it's a little more than that. Not much is on that era. It's more what transpired since.
Yes, yes.
That title story of teen idols who take a slide down to the Skid Row and then find their back way.
They were huge. But okay, can I just, I planned it so mm-hmm. that they're going to say, hello, I'm this, hello, I'm that, and then I'm going to fade it, and then we're going to talk over the faded music.
Okay.
Yay.
I thought it was just a nice, you know, professional touch. Let me just see. Okay, that's the audience, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Calm down. Here they are. My name is what?
Tommy.
My name is Roy.
Roy.
My name is Darren.
Not Darren Scott, though.
My name is Jervis.
There he is. There you go. And this can play now in the background while we professionally talk. I loved your show. I just have one problem, and that is I'm a bit deaf, so I couldn't hear everything. So, if I'm going to ask you questions that's in the show, you can just cock on me and say, but it is in the show.
And I'll try and speak slowly and clearly. something I'm not known for. Speak in shorthand.
Yeah. No, I was sometimes I couldn't quite, yeah. What did he say? But it's an incredible story. First, I have to find out, how did you meet your four? How did you four meet? And how did this competition come about?
Well, we were all doing kind of theatre at the time, musicals like Joan and Louis, Dolly, Mame,
okay.
Joseph. Joseph was my first show in 79,
wow.
The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. So we were all in those kind of shows. And then I heard about this program in the paper, I think. And I was always intending to put together this Motown-type group.
Yeah.
And it was just the right timing. So the group was already half-formed, and then we went to audition, and we got in, and we won through round by round by round while the nation watched, unbeknownst to us. TV was new in those days.
Yeah.
So like in Big Brother, when the first winner was Faraday,
yeah.
He had no idea
We were all watching his every move. He came out of that place.
And then all of a sudden, dush.
Yeah. Same with us. We had no idea people were watching the progress. So our first gig ever was, I forget what happened, but we went to this performance and there were like 300 girls in this room. I thought, so what's happening here? Is there a fashion show? Or what? And they'd come, you know, to see us. And so it was a big surprise and a bit shocking. So we had no idea what hit us.
Because you were huge. I remember Soft Shoes were fucking everywhere. Everywhere. And that is because of this competition and because of the fact that TV brought you so immediately into so many homes, eh?
And, you know, we toured far and wide and we go to Swakopmund and the mayor would receive us in his parlor.
Amazing.
And give us tea like we'd come from, you know, overseas kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it was, TV was brand new, so it was a big deal.
Yeah, and that's the first talent show that I can think of in South Africa.
Before Simon Cowell.
Before Simon Cowell, and showed how powerful that recipe still is. Yeah. Oh, that is amazing. And then, how many hits did you have?
Probably one big one, that one.
You wrote all these songs.
Yeah, well, not all of the songs on the album, but I was the only songwriter in the band. I wrote most of the songs.
Yeah.
But since then, I've become, the show you saw, I wrote all the songs.
Yeah, that was lovely. I'm going to get to
that's
that.
That's my favorite thing, is writing songs.
Yeah, I could
I'm
guess
not too
that,
keen on performing.
Yeah.
And so the question was, I forget what the question was.
The question was that you composed Fred Astaire.
Yes, Elvis Astaire. Which,
Fred Astaire was composed by his parents. Sorry, Elvis Astaire, yeah.
Which is kind of what the show's about because my father, who sadly passed away just 2 weeks ago, he once asked me, so where do your songs come from?
This year?
But it's all good because he had a long, good life and he was ill at the end, so we're happy that he's gone to where he wants
better
to go.
Place, you know?
And he asked me once, where do my songs come from? I said, well, I'll make them up. He says, no, I don't think you do make them up. You put them down from somewhere within.
Yeah.
I said, no, man, I make them up. He says, Elvis Astaire? Clearly that's about you. A desire to be Elvis and Fred Astaire all in one.
Yeah.
So then the show was sort of examining where do my songs come from and why are they about what they're about. And it's interesting to find that they come from somewhere in your checkered life.
It does. Don't you have a song about that in your show now? Something about, just I must see it again.
No,
you see
but
there's something about how you create. You talk about that as well in the show.
No, but I can't think which one specifically.
Your songs now are, you're dissecting things.
Yeah.
You're looking at this and that, and I'm very skeptic as well, which I love because I am too.
Well, it's actually a journey from deep cynicism to, you know, a softer,
you embrace,
less cynical, yeah.
Yeah, I know, the end you embrace. Time
to stop the fighting and start the resting.
Yeah. So, how long did the fame last of the Soft Shoes before it fizzled out and why? Did it fizzle out?
Well, we operated for about 3 years, three albums, and then I pulled the plug. It was too much for me.
Okay.
Because the boy band thing, it starts off with hysteria and everyone adores you and you're the best thing since sliced bread.
Yeah.
But the boy band thing, like Justin Bieber, very quickly turns the other way around. Next second is and next second the money and the street are giving you a hard time. Say, hey, you know, why are you giving me a hard time? It's just me, same guy. So I didn't enjoy that so much. Mm. I wasn't a natural stage person. So I stopped it, I disappeared for 30 years.
Yeah.
Haven't been on stage since, until now.
You stopped it and then just went away?
Yeah, just dropped it altogether.
Did you decide, okay, now I'm going to go away, I'm going to shut it off?
Yeah. I went into the record business, so I'm still very much involved with recording artists. In fact, it's me who signed Steve Hoffmeyer. So either applaud or boo, I don't know, whatever you want.
Do you see our amazement in our eyes?
I mean, he's a great lyricist and songwriter, I must admit. And I was working with Brenda Farsi and Rebecca Malope and Sanka Morta. I had a great time. I was on the other side of the business, and I enjoyed that.
But Jervis, did you work with Artie van Wyk then?
Yes, Artie van Wyk produced the Soft Shoes' first album.
Yeah, but you know Artie van Wyk then, because he was around with Yvonne Chaka Chaka and Brenda Fassie and those people. So were you working together or you just know about each other?
No, Artie produced at the same time as Yvonne Chaka produced the first Soft Shoes album.
Oh, that's what you see.
Yeah.
You're too quick for me, so I can't
hear. Yeah.
I heard you say Artie didn't produce the Soft Shoes.
Yeah.
Oh, he did. Artie produced this fucking Soft Shoes. You hear this?
The first one.
I hear that.
Artie. We had him on already, and he spoke about all these times that we didn't get to the soft shoes. That is fantastic. Yeah. Okay.
And I must apologize, but to Picasso, that I actually plagiarized you for about 3 nights when we first opened the show in Cape Town.
Yes.
And I was talking about how good my Afrikaans is, because I was married to an Afrikaans girl for 10 years. It was total flot.
Yeah.
And then I went on to quote one of your little gags about why they couldn't catch Bin Laden, but there's Muslim.
Muslim, yeah.
But right. I did it for 3 nights and I cut it. I thought, no, you can't.
Oh, I get it now.
See, it takes. Yeah. Do it again for people like him.
So I just did it 3 times and I thought, no, I can't be copying other people's.
No, you can.
So I dropped it.
You know what happened? That joke actually originated that very day, because that night we had a show and I said, I don't know who the fuck did this, but he is Muslim.
That is super funny.
Yeah, yeah, I know. It was a bit too soon for the audience, but okay. So, okay, and where did you go then?
Well, initially I just traveled for a little while.
Yeah?
On my own, you know, the whole backpacking guitar, off I went, wandering. And I really enjoyed it at that time. And then I came back and joined EMI then, and worked for them for quite some time. Mm-hmm. And then I...
Behind the scenes.
Yeah, and I got married and I went to live in England with my wife.
Your Afrikaans wife?
Yeah.
Oh.
Ik kan goed Afrikaans praten. When I first got married, the first family reunion...
The second time you're saying that, you're very proud of it.
I went to the first family reunion and the man said, Manneke, jy moet gauw leer. Jy moet gauw leer. And I said, well, saam met ons... Keier.
Yeah.
So I also learned to say, if they ask me, hoe gaan het? Eerste klas. You don't say.
Wow.
Eerste klas.
You say anybody for down, you're eerste klas.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Then you in. So I enjoyed that.
Oh, wow.
Amazing. And then, why did you talk to yourself and say, I want to tell my story? That you had do the show now? Or did someone encourage you?
No, not at all. Please don't think that I decide my life is so interesting, I must put it on stage. Not at all. My father sort of prompted it. Eventually I was doing little shows for him. A little dialogue followed by a song. A little background for the song. And he was like laughing and crying and crying on. And then eventually there was a whole show. And I was busy recording a girl singer in Cape Town called Janine Cupido, who's fantastic. I wanted to expose her. So the first show was me talking and her singing as a voice in my head to get her out there. And then she wasn't available for this run, so I thought I better do it myself.
I see.
Sure.
Didn't really want to, but...
No, but it worked. No. It worked well.
I mean, she's an incredible singer, and I'm just an okay singer, but you know...
You composed it, it's true. It comes out as true.
More authentic.
Mar Jervis, so when did you hit rock bottom, and how?
Long, long, long time after the soft shoes. You know, I had led the goodest, cleanest, freshest life my whole life, obsessed with being abiding by the rules, being liked, doing everything right, never got caned to school, never got smacked by my father, not even once. And then, I don't know what happened, I was traveling, and... I thought time has come for my Keith Richards phase. Mm. So late in life, 45, I first started dabbling in the darker side of life.
Yeah.
And you know, quickly took me into spiral.
Why? Why did you just say, I want to do it now?
Well, you know, actually I had this sounds like a feeble excuse, but I had a head-on car crash, which gave me some brain issues. And you change your personality slightly. Mm. You say yes to things you wouldn't have said yes to in the past. But it's all good. Because it brought me to a different kind of life. But you know, I used to say in the past, I'm shallow and proud of it. Uh-huh. It was one of my pickup lines in the bar. But now, you know, that's changed. I've got a bit of substance, hopefully. I'm a bit, I'm not going to say wiser, but just more conscious of what's going on. And I've got a better route forward, you know. I'm embraced on a more spiritual life. And I'm very happy for every day of my past.
Wow. So... Who supplied you with all this cock?
Ach, you get. Any street corner in America, you can get anything you want.
But you were in America?
Yeah. Well, and here at when I came back, but I was in America for quite some time, both East Coast and West Coast. And it's the Wild West, you know, and you're alone, a million miles from home, so you don't feel responsible to anybody really. And it was just a phase, you know. Uh-huh. But
this was after you were married?
After I was married, yeah.
Okay.
The marriage had fallen apart.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you were on your own.
Yeah, boy.
Well, this you said something. I think I heard it correctly in the show that you had like surgery because of your accident?
Yeah, yeah. I had intense. I don't want to, you know, go on a self-pity because, but basically.
No, you don't know. But
you know, I've got 10 metal plates in my head, 50 screws. And you know, I had a rewired jaw and I'm smashed up. And you know, the clap on the cup, it causes some issues. It's like a car that crashed. You're never quite the same.
Mm.
But better, you know, better in some ways. I've made more of my life, I think, than with this limitation. You know, I can't remember anything from one day to the next. I'm new stuff. So, but I've got no complaints.
So these songs we heard in the show, are you going to release them?
Well, they've been written for, you know, this girl Janine that I've been recording.
Okay.
So I'm still hoping that she records them mostly.
Okay.
And maybe, I don't think, you know, I'm not really out there to be on the stage again in the public. I'm a bit out, you bit. So pop is a young person's game. And so I've had my young years. That season is over, as they say. So really it's more about trying to get them recorded by other people.
Yeah, but in terms of the show, it is, as I say, commentary. It's like reflective. You comment about things in the song, so it doesn't read as pop, it reads as the good version of cabaret. What I mean is where you got songs with meaning,
yeah.
You know?
Or perhaps like singer-songwriter type.
That's it, yeah.
So, you know, I'm not sure. But I must just add, if I may, that, you know, some of the reviews from Cape Town, it's very hard to blow your own trumpet. But just to let you know that the reviews in Cape Town, because it's hard to say it yourself, they also was hilarious. So apparently it's really funny.
It is funny.
It wasn't written to be funny. It was written as a tragedy, but the men still lacked our way through.
Yeah, it's lacquer.
So it makes me feel even worse.
You got a nice way to throw away the humor. I like that. It is sort of, you're not trying to be funny, but it is very funny.
But also, you know, when something's tragic and you can actually and you identify, and you know that your natural reaction is to laugh about it because you know it's which way you're gonna go. You recognize it.
And some audiences, you know, they're busy feeling a bit treurig, and then you throw a joke at them and they think and laugh and they cry at the same time.
Mm.
And you know, musicals are supposed to make you cry. That's the rule.
Mm. When did you start this in Cape Town?
I think the last year before Cape Town Fringe. Then I went to the Rosebank Theatre in Cape Town, and because of that season, I was offered this gig.
The Rosebank Theatre, is that a new theatre? I don't know.
It's new, but now it's gone.
Sure.
Yeah.
In Cape Town?
Yeah.
I've never heard.
It's the Baxter must be close.
Rosebank Theatre is in next to Alma Cafe. It's I don't know, 10 k's from the Baxter. Very small, 50-seater. Owned by that guy, Oliver McCall Smith or something. He wrote the Botswana Detective Agency books. You know those books?
Oh, you lost me there.
The Botswana Detective Agency. Anyway, he owns the theatre. It was run by the Ellenburgans, but not anymore.
Oh, wow. Nicholas,
I want to know, so Casper and you mentioned earlier on about the talent show, like the big talent show on the SABC that you won, right? That you won. So how does that talent show, and I didn't see that talent show, obviously, I was born in 1977, how does that compare to today's talent shows?
Well, I mean, the ones we watch these days is mostly singing, and the singing now belongs to this era. They scream, they belt, they do the whole gymnastics of Mariah Carey thing. Mm. It wasn't like that in the 80s. It was 80s style. I mean, I grew up with Donovan, Bob Dylan, folk artists, the Eagles, Beatles.
Yeah.
So, very different. Now it's really big and brash, and as loud as you can, the better. But it wasn't like that back then. And also, our talent show was very, we had magicians on and...
Were they like judges or...
Judges, yeah. We had that Peter Turin.
Yeah.
Dawn Lindbergh.
Oh, wow.
Andre Hutton. And no. Bruce Miller, I think, and Tim Blumen was the MC.
Oh wow!
And I think amazing. And I think also that the audience counted for a part of the vote.
That I can't remember. That I can't remember.
And it you had to do what?
Well, each week you'd do a number.
Okay.
And then you'd win through or you wouldn't.
Yeah.
So four performers per week, and then one guy would go through, and then next month they'd quarterfinals, semifinals, come the final night, and then you face off, you know.
And were there any like famous people that we know that were kind of like your competition during the finals?
People who came fourth included Ian von Memmerty.
Oh, wow.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Sure.
Wow. Okay, so it's very much the theatre scene, as you said, that then the competed.
And Vicky Sampson?
Yeah.
Was in one of the rounds against us, a little kid this size.
My freaking
dream!
Patience Stevens from the
from Top Billing.
She was in the show.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Singing.
Yeah.
Wow.
I just wanted to do this professionally and tell you that our
extra special
guest is Jervis Pennington. And it's a great feeling to have him here because I got to know him on television and he's like a true idol. Isn't it amazing? And I never thought that I would speak to you.
Well, funny how the circle of life goes around.
And now I hear you plagiarizing my jokes.
I saw you first time, I think, in a Rudolph, a university campus festival.
A
long time ago.
Could be.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Bias Knox.
Yeah, donkey. Now, I want to go back to where you... Okay, this is one of the questions I can't remember. Did you say in the show that you wanted to commit suicide?
No.
Did you want to commit suicide?
No, never.
Oh, really?
But I suppose I did use the word once in the show when I sing a song about that music is my kind of my love, and I say, don't need to buy no, please forgive me flowers, don't talk on the phone for hours. Then you jump off no suicide towers because your love keeps me satisfied. So.
Oh, awesome. Wow.
Poetry. Hello.
How's the reaction been of the Johannesburgers to your show?
Well, it's really early to tell, but I've only been on for 4 nights or 5 maybe.
Yeah.
And they appear to be loving it.
Good.
It appears that they are paying attention because it's very quiet. And then they laugh like 4 seconds later because they're not sure if they're allowed to laugh or not.
Yeah. Now, also with my show, they weren't sure whether they should applaud or not after a song because I was going, oh, okay. Because they were so quiet. They were listening, yeah. And I think the whole show was for them and a whole symphony, you know, you don't interrupt.
Well, I do thunder on from song. I go straight into dialogue. If they want to clap, they can interrupt me.
Yeah.
But I don't pause, okay, time for clapping people.
Yeah, for me.
No, straight on.
Have you seen the other Soft Shoes again?
Sometimes, not recently. Roy lives in Fort Lauderdale.
Is that Florida?
Yeah. And Tinus is somewhere as a tour guide somewhere. And Darren was in Oxford. Now I hear he's somewhere else, Oxford, UK, selling insurance.
I thought Oxford Road selling himself.
You never know.
We've got a section here that we call Stoff Poopies. Yeah. What it basically is songs from the like golden oldies, basically. Okay, and then we talk about it. And so I thought, because of your show and the story you tell, I thought of Homeless by Paul Simon.
See?
So, and then I thought, let's look at that album, Graceland,
beautiful.
In our Stoff Poopies today. So I must first play it. I must introduce it. Just hang on. Just talk amongst yourself.
Okay. So it's kind of like I'm supposed to do this, but as you're talking, I'm realizing you have quite a bit in common with our Stoff Poopy. Can I call him a Stoff Poopy?
Yeah.
Who's still alive? Because he's also, you know, he's also in the music industry since forever. He's also a writer, you know, songwriter.
Say it.
You
can say it.
It's Paul Simon. So Paul, the homeless, the homeless guy, not that. Homeless.
Did he do the diamonds on the sole of the shoes?
That's the same LP, Gavin. We're going to get to that. You're going to be so educated.
Oh, no, I'm not going to be so educated. You know, but there's so much about this man. So this, Cassie says, go check it up. And it's always like such a treasure hunt because you find new things that I'm not necessarily educated on. And Paul Simon to me was kind of like, oh my God, this is another treasure trove.
But wasn't it information overload?
It is completely. I chucked it out eventually. I was like, you'll remember what you remember. And, you know. But he was born in what?
since forever, 41.
Okay, so can we...
41?
Yes.
41.
And he's still hot.
Yes. 76 or something.
He's going to be 76 now, in October the 13th.
Oh.
So do you wanna go on?
I will.
Stove poopies from J.H. Proudly brought to you by Sandwich Baron.
Wat eet ek vandag? Dit sal Sandwich Baron moet wees. Hulle lewer mos gratis af by my huis of kantoor. Maar wat sal dit wees? 'N smaaklike toebroodjie, 'n kraak vars slaai of vars Franse brood met 'n verskeidenheid kwaliteit vulsels of dalk 'n reuse gebakte aartappel wat bedek is met romerige champignonsaus, brosgebraaide spek en baie cheddar kaas. By Sandwich Baron kan jy aanlyn bestel. Registreer eenmalig by die winkel van jou keuse. Bestel aanlyn by sandwichbaron.co.za. Sandwich Baron, ongetwyfeld heerlik.
Delta was shining like a national guitar. I am following the river down the highway through the cradle of the Civil War. I'm going to Graceland, to Memphis, Tennessee. I'm going to Graceland. Poor boys and
girls. That is Paul Simon on his way to Graceland.
Yeah.
And we can whiz through this LP. You can say a name and then I can press a button. Tell me all about it.
Right. So, Paul Frederick Simon, 1.6, because he is like smaller than you.
Oh, little pixie.
Isn't it? But Jervis has an amazing story to tell before you go further, because you saw Paul Simon.
Yes, I was working in Brooklyn, New York as a waiter in a South African restaurant called Madiba's, and Paul Simon was appearing at the Brooklyn Academy of Music with other people singing his songs, including David Byrne from Talking Heads. So I went and watched his concert, and Paul sang some of his songs, and David Byrne sang some of his songs, and afterwards at the restaurant, David Byrne came to eat, Talking Heads guy, and I was serving his table. So he said, "Come here, son." He said, "Here's my credit card. You hold on to it. When I'm drunk, bring my bill and send me home."
Aww. Wow, that's trust.
Yeah. So I held David Byrne's credit card for 2 hours.
Wow.
And I sent him home.
And did it burn a hole in his financial statements? Amazing.
God, I want a life like that, where you can still trust whomever. Mm.
And we let the sick way quickly to Ati van Wyk again, because Ati brought them out and he told how the fuck up it was, actually.
Is it?
Really?
Yeah, because there was like... a boycott from...
Yes, I remember it.
It's not Madiba. Madiba said it's fine, and then...
I remember politics.
Yeah.
Okay, was that Madiba? Madiba, that, are we talking about the 80s when he came with the Graceland thing? Or are we speaking later?
Bylang.
Okay, well, Madiba
was... It's
net na of voor die ANC gewen het in verkiesing, dink ek.
Okay, then is that the 90s?
Yeah, that has to be the 90s.
So
yeah.
That's the 90s, but I don't know about the Graceland one that you're talking about, because you wanted to talk about the diamonds on the soldiers.
Yeah, and homeless.
Homeless.
Did you say homeless? Homeless. Same record. Oh, I remember that riffs.
So, can I say something?
You have to.
Because also, this song also resonates in our household. Because I say in my show, my mother never knew whether to call me hopeless or useless, because she called me. And whenever she does something in that regard, then I sing hopeless.
Hopeless.
Yeah. So anyway, but that's with that the South African.
Hopeless.
Lady Smith. That, by the way, what you're singing is Isicatamio.
A
Okay.
It's a, just like, you know, it's a name for a
type of what?
It's katamia.
Which is actually the silent dancing. The back bump dance.
How
they,
you doing?
They lived in hostels. Mm-hmm. So they couldn't be dancing in the workplace. So they developed this silent Zulu dancing. So they would, instead of stamping, they would just sit down gently with their feet. And that's...
The silent...
Katamia or whatever you say. Yeah.
Yes. Ah. So... Anyway, so where do you want me to go? Where do you want me to go to?
I want you to tell me about this record. Why? How did he meet the South Africans overseas?
Actually, he came here, and it was in 1985. He came here. And then.
That was just before the state of emergence.
That was during that. No, actually, we were just afterwards. Was just after that. State of emergency. It was the early 80s, yeah, so it was within that period. And then he met them here. He did the whole thing with them, loved them.
So you were scouting for talent, apparently. Is that what he was doing?
Do you know, I didn't find out what he was doing or whether he was scouting. I know. I'm also thinking now, was he scouting? I'm actually also going in my head, why didn't you pick that up, as part of your thingy? But anyway, so he was here, did this 1983 gig with the guys, and some of the guys who then he took them overseas with him to America so that they could go and, you know, actually do the record, record the thing. They loved it so much. So Ray Peary was one of the guys who went with him. Bagiti
Kumalo
was also there. There was a third one. I can't remember who the third one is.
It was the percussion player from Cape Town.
Charlie. There was Charlie also with him.
Possibly the drummer, I think.
Yeah. They went to New York, and apparently the guys were in for quite a cultural shock. They didn't know that they could go into Central Park, and they were just kind of like, white men are driving us around. How is that possible in limos? So that must have been fun.
Of course, it's the 80s still. Yeah.
Yeah, it was the 80s, and that kind of thing was kind of like new. But anyway, so Simon. Paul Simon, I should say, he started properly with Clive Davis with Columbia Records in the year we were born.
Really?
Really. 1964 was his first proper gig with Art Garfunkel.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So they had their first, they started there, and they used to be known as Tom and Jerry.
Mm-hmm.
So the name was Tom and Jerry, and then Clive Davis, the Whitney Houston Clive Davis, who's now old, and you know.
Yeah.
He said, no, you guys can use your names, and apparently those were the first artists, pop artists at the time, who got their names on their records. So it was Simon and Garfunkel.
She's a rich girl, she don't try to hide it. Diamonds on the soles of her shoes. He's a poor boy, empty as a pocket, with nothing to lose. Sing ta-na-na, ta-na-na, ta-na-na. She got diamonds on the soles of her shoes. Ta-na-na, ta-na-na, she got diamonds on the soles of her shoes.
Okay, so that's not art, that's just Simon with Lady Smith. Oh, where are you? There you are.
Yes.
Remember, she's not Betty.
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah, no. My tongue is not as sharp. But, so that song, apparently, you know, because of the time that it was recorded on that Graceland thing, we all thought it's politically, you know, motivated or anything. And he's like, nah. You know, he tried to steer away from politics. And
is it?
Yeah, so diamonds on the soles of his shoes, and you're thinking like South Africa diamonds, you know, come on, must have a political meaning. Nothing, he was just talking about a rich New York girl, you know, who happened to love being spandabelrig, what do you call that again?
Flashy. Or
yes.
Ostentatious.
Or, yes.
Bling. You know, bling on his shoes.
So there was nothing... politically,
it sounds like.
But he did get dragged into politics because the local musicians felt that he'd stolen.
Oh, that was when he came in the 90s. Oh, now that is coming back to me when he came back.
But
in
you
the
know,
90s.
I mean, it wasn't that at all because, I mean, he used rhythms that are African, but no, songs as such. And he said, you know, I'm exposing this sound to the world. So there was a lot of anger about it, but I think misplaced, because really the songs were that big because of his writing and the lyric. And he used some specific rhythms, but he had Bugitti playing and Ray Peary and Charlie, I think, was a drummer. So but it wasn't always happy. And then him and Ray split acrimoniously after some time.
Wow.
Yeah. But for him, it was a project. I think after this, didn't he go to Brazil?
Yes. So he liked to cross-pollinate his music.
Like do world music.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, but apparently his thing with the stint on, because he was on Saturday Night Live also with...
with them.
With Black Mambazo, Lady Smith Black Mambazo. And apparently it was one of the most well-received Saturday Night Lives ever.
Yeah. Okay.
So, with our...
And I mean, he gave Black Mambazo a magnificent career. He helped them expose them, and deservedly so, because they are spectacular.
Yeah,
I want to go back to something that you said. You signed Steve Off, man. Yeah.
I arrived at EMI in 1989, and I was given the sort of task of finding new talent, and I just come from the UK where. Jason Donovan and Kylie Minogue were all the rage. They'd come from a TV series called Neighbours.
Yes.
And now they were pop stars. So I thought, are there any TV stars here? You know, and Steve had been after Alkaman. Bruce Bayers.
That's right.
So I asked him, can he sing? And they said, yeah, he sings in the pub in Pretoria.
That's right.
Let me go and see. And there was Steve, long hair, doing Bon Jovi.
Yeah.
I said, come, take me a song. And do you have any of your own songs? He said, yeah, I write all the time. He brought me his songs, and the very first song was, I forget the title, but the first lyric was, "Yet Drame af en Ans was a Yas." So this guy's a poet. And he's a good writer, really.
Yeah,
and his image is something else, but so we signed him. His first album was produced by Ralph Martin, ex-Bellyhoo. It was called Desert Bound. And I think it was Laaste Lach was the first hit. Laaste Lach.
Yeah. I can't doubt I Laaste Lach.
Did he not sing the title to the show, the series that he was on, Achter Elke Man?
Later.
Much
movie.
Later.
Oh, is it?
Achter Elke Vrou staan.
Yeah.
Das a vrou. Achter Elke Man.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
I think he's become probably the most successful recording artist in Africa.
And then his Ati's brother then Louis went on to manage him. Steve.
Yeah. Not. It didn't last forever.
Yeah.
No, we know.
Yeah. Louis
van Wyk, yeah, but he was with Steve very long
ago. Back in the day, Louis van Wyk was King Louis, DJ at Sun City.
I know.
He's halfway there.
This is probably also the time when Kurt Darren was singing karaoke in Pretoria, because I heard that.
He was still doing houtwerk op school then.
But Steve was cute.
When he was younger,
I mean,
he went mad now, unfortunately. But when he was younger, he was not. He's an intelligent guy.
He is very intelligent, and he is very talented. And he really does have what people call the X factor. You know, so he does.
I don't know what he's playing at now.
I shouldn't admit this, but I've got a song of his, like, on my... But what is our iTunes, but on my phone? There's a song that I like. It's called Pa in Cien. It just takes me to another level. But
with
not
your
But I'm not. Yes, with my children. But I'm not like. I'm not listening to it for him.
So anyway.
Yeah. Don't. No,
so yeah. So yeah. So one last thing I want to say about that, Mr. Simon.
Simon.
Mrs. Robinson.
Oh yes, to you, Mrs. Robinson.
The graduate.
Yes, that's his. So we're not talking about his acting career, but anyway, so that's all I'm gonna say.
Yeah. No, thank you.
So the man
left
up with a legacy.
And here we go with this
over
song.
Troubled water, sounds of silence.
And you can call me Al.
And you can call me Al. That was funny.
This was his. I think this was actually the biggest song from the album.
Yeah.
It shouldn't have been, but it's. But I can add a story about Paul Simon if you want to just now.
I'd love to. Just say yes to Casper. That's the.
So I'm gonna speak now. So, you know, this whole career, this amazing career, it started with Art Garfunkel. They recorded a few tracks, including The Sounds of Silence. It went nowhere in America. So they split, and Paul went to London and was gigging by himself, doing folk in London. And then the song took off. They said, come back. They said, come back. And then they re-released that song, and then they became superstars.
Isn't that
but
wonderful?
Temporarily, it was like a no-go. And
sometimes people need to hear something a second time.
So it could have been that he disappeared. Could have been.
Yeah.
You know, into the ether.
But, yeah. But someone believed in it.
A stroke of luck.
Absolutely.
Or something else.
Yeah. Well, like Seinfeld wasn't very popular, and then they re-repeated it, the producer, and so it became a hit. And a lot of other examples. This, maybe it's, you need to get used to it.
Yeah.
And this is what happened with Mr. Paul Simon. But now, did you stay in Cape Town or in Johannesburg when you were like doing the drugs and in the streets? Where were you?
Mostly overseas.
Oh,
yeah.
You see, that I didn't understand.
Yeah.
Now I know.
I didn't really. It's not relevant where it was. Really.
No, it is, because I could have brought you a hamburger or something.
I mean, it's 10 minutes on the street anyway is 10 minutes too many. And it changes your perspective forever. But luckily, I've appeared to have survived thus far. And even though I don't know what the future holds, you know, I think I know how it's going to end. So,
that's but this cool. show seems like you've come through something, and now you're on your way to the sunset.
Exactly.
You know, it's a positive show.
No, it's very much. End. It's very much very positive for me.
It's called the
an extraordinarily ordinary life.
An extraordinary ordinary. No,
an extraordinarily
life.
Ordinary.
Extraordinary.
it's very ordinary. You know, I was so obsessed with being super special.
Yeah.
To find that just a man against men, very ordinary. And people misread it as extraordinary ordinary, but it's extraordinarily ordinary. A big groot verskil, Kasper.
Okay, now I've got you.
I do want to find out though how. Because you said it was so difficult for you going from, you know, no one knows you and then everybody knows you and then the scarring after that. In what way did it kind of scar you? In which way did you...
Well, I don't want to sound like self-pity, but basically I was obsessed all my life with being good, not being troubled, being liked, as many of us are. And I did a pretty good job by never breaking any rules. Then all of a sudden I got like super liked without even trying. And everyone's, you know, breaking into my house and my hotel room, and all very exciting in a way, although it's also a bit uncomfortable. And suddenly, you know, people are shouting to you in the street or in the bar, or like trying to pick a fight with you. And you're like, what did I do? You know, I'm just the same oak. And so people didn't know you, suddenly had a beef for you, and it really, you know, upset me. I thought, jeez, you know, this is not what I signed on for. So I ran away.
But in South Africa at that time, were the Tannies and the Dr. Keys promiscuous? Did they throw themselves?
Not they didn't throw panties, but certainly in the small dorpie, you know, the barmaid in the hotel kroeg. Yeah.
Pada het gekwaak.
Ik weet niet wat dat betekent, maar ik weet niet. Pada iets, maar I think I've got a clue.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it was...
You can't, whoever you are, you can't not be affected by such
that.
A thing.
Yeah.
Just write that down.
What are you going to do?
I want to write down the parrot gekwaak.
Oh, ik zeg, ja, no vertaling.
Vertaling,
ja.
What I bedoel. So, yeah, it must have an impact on you if you have just all of a sudden all that attention. I think the people who want to block him, you are jealous, obviously, and threatened.
But also in terms of privacy, you know?
Yeah.
When you just go, you just want to have a meal. People are checking you out, or you
say
no to the waiter, and suddenly you're being bitchy, or, you know.
Now so if you learn at the bar before this happens, you're a shy guy. Learn at the bar after it happens, you're full of yourself. Yeah. You won't talk to anybody.
Yeah.
So I'm not beefing, but some people responded very easily, like Darren and Roy loved it. But, you know, I didn't love it so much. I'm not complaining, though.
Mm.
It was a lucky break, the TV show at the right time, and it's been, you know...
And those LPs that Gareth spoke about, are they on iTunes? Are they somewhere?
I don't think so. I think apparently my nephew in America said he actually got one song on Spotify. I don't know. I doubt it.
Okay, but those things are there. The masters are there somewhere.
Well, I know that the first record came out on CD, but I think the second two are just in the vault somewhere.
Okay. Yeah.
But you're on YouTube.
Yes, I don't.
That's where I found the songs. There's a lot more, but I just played the.
Now they put on at the end of the competition. We were given a special as the winners, like 50 minutes of prime time TV, and that's what's on the on YouTube, I think.
Yeah, it's quite long. It's yeah. It's a section yeah. segment that's like 40 minutes. Okay, yeah, there's all your songs are there, but of the competition, obviously.
Yeah.
Okay, so you got no plan, but I think you should just for the theatre people and so forth, because I would, after the show, I would have bought those songs you sang. Mm,
thank you. You know, I'm not mad for myself as a singer, and really my passion is writing.
Yeah.
And when you hear a real singer,
are you singing
your
this
songs,
girl?
Yeah. When you hear someone who can really sing, singing your little song that you wrote in your little room with your little guitar, it blows your mind. It's so cool to hear a real singer take your song and make it into something, you know, special.
So when you were working for EMI or those years ago, did you write for people that we know?
No, it was a bit a conflict of interest. I couldn't really write for people at EMI if I was working for EMI. But I was always writing. But at the moment, my agenda's been since I was born to win a Grammy for writing. But not anymore so much so keen for the Grammy, but just I do love writing. It's a thrill, and when someone else takes your song and sings, I tell you, it's the best feeling I've ever had.
Tell me that lady's name again.
Janine Cupido.
Janine Cupido. People, remember this, Janine Cupido. Scrape it under your pad.
We're putting together a project with me as writer-producer, and it's called The Capetonians, and I'll be using different Cape singers. I also just used another girl who was in the last David Cromer show, so any singers will be used, but so far it's just Janine.
David Cromer loved your show. I saw.
Yes.
He raved
about
it.
Very complimentary.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
But on what Casper said about you, him have. Here is Novelik Afrikaans praat.
Mooney.
He would have bought your whatever. Your
CD.
Music. Yes. You know.
Oh, my goodness.
Compact Skafi.
I wasn't going to do that. I was just trying to put the words into proper order. But I mean, there's something to be said for an artist who actually, because of the artist. And yes, maybe someone else does sing the song differently or better or whatever. But it's that moment, you know. And then I think, because you. And also the people that you're probably looking at who won't be going like just for the loudness, but who actually going for the experience. Oh. I mean, for people like that, because it's an intimate moment where it might just be, you know, you saying, it's just me singing, but they remember that experience. They remember your experiences that you brought to them as well. So some people have a cult following like that.
And I mean, I could record it. I just haven't had the...
You just couldn't be bothered.
It just feels like... I don't know.
You want someone else to sing it.
And you know, it's funny because I've been in showbiz all my life, but we grew up with like cardinal rule: don't be big for your boots, don't show off. And next thing I'm on the stage prancing around like a like a maldung. So it is never quite kind of fitted with my my general demeanor. But I was forced into because of my desire to get my songs out there as a writer.
Yeah. Until when are you playing this show at the Monty?
Playing until the 15th of October, which is another 2.5 weeks.
Yes.
At the Monty Studio.
The Monty Studio.
Wednesday through Sunday.
Okay, great. And it is, the title of the show is...
An Extraordinarily Ordinary Life.
With Jervis Bennington. That's it. Now we got a couple of questions here, also every week, just to see if our extra special guests know what the hell is going on around them in the world, okay? It's supposed to be difficult.
Am I going to be embarrassing myself now?
No.
Okay.
No, it's going to be like, it's like visiting. Okay, this is not just a joke that I read somewhere. It's not a question. Womkali loop in the spar. Hy soek 'n hoender, maar hy kan nie onthou wat dit in Engels is nie, because die tannie nou daar agter die til is Engels. Nou dink jy, what the hell? Nou... Gaan hy en hy gaan haal 'n eiertjie daar waar die eiertjie staan en hy gaan na die tannie by die til en sê I'm looking for this one's mother. Dit is oulik. Okay. The fattest woman. What did she weigh? She died now this week.
Oh, probably about
at the age of 37.
So maybe about 690?
Wow, you just give her a lot. I know. It's just, she was 500.
Wow.
Oh, that's the fattest woman.
And then she lost 300 Ks. Or maybe she was 8 and lost 300 K, was 500 when she died. I don't know.
500 Ks or pounds?
No, no, key. KG.
She was.
What?
That's 1,200 pounds or something.
No, that's not possible. Well, isn't it pounds?
Well, I was going to guess 900 pounds. So
how much is that?
400 kilos.
Okay, maybe then it was the 500 kilos.
Wow.
Was the max.
Wow.
And then she lost 3 and died at 200.
But there's a program that I watched, and it's about fat people. And those women are often way over 500.
So that's a cupcake here,
700
done.
Sometimes.
On which channel is this fat?
It's on
TLC. They've got 2 viewers in the studio.
And sometimes those women are like 700, 600. So, and then they come to 500, 400 and stuff. Like sometimes they go really like 150 pounds, you know.
Which show started in America last night?
Which show started? I tell you exactly which show. Sorry. I was going to say about the pop industry. Mm-mm. It started here last. The first episode was here this week.
Huh, what is that?
I can't think, but it's about the record industry.
Was it HBO? I think.
All black cast.
Empire, no.
Something like that, but...
I know about... No, what I'm talking about is like the phenomenon Will and Grace started last night in America.
Oh, did again?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wonderful.
What do you mean? You didn't even know they were re-recording it. You didn't know this.
No. The same too.
It's really sweetheart. I have stuff
sweetie.
To do.
What's this?
Come on, guys, give me a break. This is not all I do.
You watch fat programs on.
Yes, exactly.
I must
exactly.
escape.
And she watches PH80 programs.
PH80.
Yeah, fat isn't hip and hop happening.
Yeah.
Doesn't fat PH80 mean cool?
Yeah. Oh, that's a different stuff. Yeah, that young person's lingo. Oh God.
Like Fat Joe.
Yes.
PH80.
Yes.
Watch fat programs.
I find that pretentious. That PH80.
I don't know what it is.
I'm just going like.
Yeah, we were all just talking about off and BA and all that stuff. So take your calculator, Gavin, and divide 84 by 2.6.
Calculator, I found you. Okay. 84 divided by 2.6.
Yeah.
It's 32.3.
That's what you would weigh on Mars.
Huh?
Yeah.
Is it? Then I'm going there tomorrow.
I don't want to ask Shemaine her weight because that's very easy. What's yours?
Mine is by a mile. I'm about 66, I think.
66 divided by?
So you would be 2.6. You would be about 25, 24.
How much? Wow.
You're right.
25.3. 25.
Wow.
That's nice, eh?
Sure.
What does that mean?
That means that the gravity on Mars is different.
Oh, wow.
So that means we will all want to go to Mars, except for Jervis, because he would be too far.
He'll be floating.
It'll take us 6 months to get there, but yeah.
What was different about the Neanderthals? Something of them was bigger. What was it?
The head?
The eyes?
The arms were longer.
Yeah. The brains.
That's the head.
The brain.
It's bigger.
It's not like he had a fucking head like this with a ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling brain. They were more clever than us.
And look what they left us.
That's not difficult.
I'm a Neanderthal. I always knew that. But then they were too, like the dodo. You had to take care of them.
Oh.
And then the humans, we were more rough and tumble and killed them all. Oh, shame, eh?
Yes.
Next.
Oh, I don't know. I'm still trying to feel sorry for the Neanderthal. The dodo, I'm there. The Dutch ate the dodo
on Mauritius. They fucking ate them up.
I'm feeling sorry for the dodo, not the Neanderthal.
But do we want to bring the dodo back? Because we can now. Is that a good thing?
What disease do they bring from wherever they were?
But they're gone, so they're out of the equation now in the chains of life. If we bring them back, don't we then spoil?
You're going to help me. How are we going to bring them back?
It's possible already. You take a feather.
It's like
take the DNA.
3D printing or something.
It's like Jurassic Park. That was an idea, but now it's true. Take that, and you can make whatever you want. They can make woolly mammoth. They can do anything. But the question is whether we should. But these tiny woolly mammoth know, hello, what the fuck, hello, and he's next to the Yetni, and he hasn't got friends, and it's not cold enough. And same with the dodo. The dodo will...
What will happen to them?
Give us the voice.
Do you know there was a time when people had the same discussion about shall we have children who are, you know, like the that what do you call it
in again? Vitro
in vitros? Shall we do in vitro babies? The same discussion people
or
had.
Or even sperm donors, even
even that. So I've not heard of it. This is the first time I'm hearing about it today from you.
Yeah.
So if it's the truth, then I suppose there'll be more discussions coming around.
There will
around that.
And you know, talking about that so nicely that you talk about that, because I'm going to touch on that and say, 50 years ago something happened in that vein where people thought, wow, is this can this be done? Isn't this sin? Isn't this amoral? What was that? So, and in South Africa it happened. In a hospital in the Cape.
Oh, heart transplant.
Yes.
Christian Barnard.
Christian Barnard, 50 years ago, transplanted hearts. And you can see people wrote letters. They have got it there when they say this is sin. Mm. Oh, can you do this?
Is it?
Yeah.
That I never knew.
Hoe kan jy 'n hart in iemand anders se liggaam plaas? Wat het jy daar geskryf? I thought you were taking notes from Charmaine about...
Please don't take notes from me.
I prepared questions for Jervis, and I asked like two of them.
Well, what else have you got?
Sorry.
I had like... Okay, these are like all... It's not applicable now, but what I wanted to know. So we've discussed the comparison between the talent shows. And then what I wanted to know is that I read that you like grew up poor. So I wanted to know, because I read somewhere that you were quite poor that...
Were you?
No, in comparison to my classmates. In my world, I was the poorest kid in class because my dad taught at a very expensive posh school, so we went for free. But the classmates were all CEO's kids.
That's right.
So big chip on the shoulder. I'm in a 3-part Adidas and I've got a pair of tackies. So we weren't poor as such, but in comparison to everyone around me, we were like...
But what's the story about you that when you were a little boy that you wore hand me downs?
Yes. No, because
a girl's hand me down, girl clothes.
Where did you get that? No, because
I was thinking hand me downs are fine, but then you went to girls' clothes.
This is true. Not all the time, but every year our American cousins would send us a big box of American clothes.
Yeah,
because we didn't have any clothes, and my mother would hand them out. And didn't care if it was a male or female, as long as it fitted. And I was the same size as Cousin Hillary.
Oh. So
I got some of her panties.
Not Senator Hillary.
No. So not all the time, but occasionally I had to wear some of Hillary's shorts or something.
That's right. You told this in the show. You see, I'm so mad already that I don't know what happened for real and what happened in his show. I don't know. And I just want to ask you one very personal question. You see, I didn't quite understand what you said in the show. Did you fiddle a bit with the gay?
No.
Oh. Don't be so
disappointed. No. It's Casper. I said, you think with this sort of upbringing, wearing my cousin Hillary's clothes, I would have ended up, you know, refined. But sadly I didn't, because it would have saved me a lot of trouble with the ladies if I had been otherwise inclined.
Okay, you know what I
heard? Then I said, I did think of trying it once, but I changed my mind.
And the gay in
which
me
is
heard.
A woman, which is a woman's prerogative, and it's like a joke.
The gay, I stopped there, my gay brain. And I heard, he did it once.
Oh, my
okay,
goodness.
Okay, so that was also wrong. But go listen to the rest, because I am obviously not well, because I heard all kinds of stuff.
No, I must speak more clearly and more slowly.
I'll sit more in front so I can hear. I'll have an ear trumpet and I will listen.
Let's go together. I want to see the show.
Can
it's
I
called
go with you?
The Extraordinary Ordinary Life of the People.
The Extraordinarily?
Ordinary.
Extraordinarily
ordinary. But if you suffer, you go to competition, you say, Jervis. Jervis. Something about extraordinary. Yeah.
But if you're Afrikaans, you say Jarvis.
as your dad.
He hooked me, but right throughout our career, I thought meet an Afrikaans person, say hello, I'm Jervis. I say hello, Jarvis.
Jarvis.
So I don't know where it comes from because there's no Afrikaans first name Jarvis, is there?
Mm-mm. No, no, it's very English.
But there's a surname.
Jarvis.
There's a surname called Jarvis.
Oh, that's right. Maybe could be that. Mm. But Pennington, it's very British.
Bayer.
This is Pennington. Sounds like one of those characters from, who were those marionettes? The Thunderbirds. Jervis, you don't know. But the Thunderbirds should be your time.
No, I love how you just think we're all in your world.
Yeah.
The Thunderbirds, never heard of them.
What?
It's a car. I know that.
No, it was like Marionette van Engeland.
Well, yeah.
Mrs. Pennington, Mrs. Oh my God, I'm mad. Am I dreaming this?
No, no, you're not mad.
Casper reminded me of one of those people that do you know so-and-so? No, you must know so-and-so. And you just said, no, you must. No, man.
Yeah, but it's like I can't understand how you don't know the soft shoes. It's like that. But now I understand you were, but he was there in that time. So how the fuck doesn't he know who the Thunderbirds are? Maybe you were already high on some fucking drug.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Possibly.
So what's it like getting high when you've never done it before?
At 40.
It's not pleasant.
At 40 something. Is it?
No. Not pleasant.
No. It's looking for love in the wrong places. So you feel you can relate and you feel you can connect and it's all false. So in that regard, it's has its, I suppose, temporary merits.
But you have that realization once you get out of the high.
Yeah.
Surely not. Do you?
I suppose it did teach me that I am able to relate and to connect and be intimate, but not when I'm sober because I'm terrified for whatever reason. You know, upbringing, nurturing, nature, who knows? But, you know, the show is also a lot about pursuing normal, intimate kind of relationships, not in terms of physical, but just in terms of sharing and caring and really revealing yourself to other people.
I just want to make it clear to the audience and the listeners, the potential audience, it's not a depressing show at all. You don't go in there and slit your wrists off.
No.
Not at all. It's very positive and very funny and great music. I really enjoyed it. And as I say, an honor to be able to say, my God, here I am with Jervis Pennington live. I can touch him.
Wow.
And I watched him so many years ago, and he's still there. And
you just can't remember the things, but
you're
there.
No, I can't remember. I can't remember. I'm mad. But my face also, you know, it just wiped all the memories.
But they say if you can remember the 60s, then you probably weren't there.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like that about the 2000s. Jervis, thank you very much for being here. Any more questions you have, Gavin?
No, I'm good.
Are you fine?
I'm good. Forever. He spoke about the accident because I wanted to know about the accident. We've covered that.
Yeah, because he doesn't look like the Jervis I know. Because he looks a bit different.
Is it? Huh. Well, what was it? Facial surgery?
Well, you know, I look different to myself in the mirror. People think look the same, but my eyes are a bit sunken, a bit further back in the head. I don't know. It just, to me, I look different. And it's unsettling. I didn't recognize myself. I look the same to other people.
Yeah.
But when I look in the mirror, it's as near rechni.
Wow.
Yeah. There's something behind the eyes that has changed.
Mm. It's at the Monte Cassino Studio Theatre.
Peter Turin
for a couple of weeks still, people. Thank you, Charmaine, for being here.
Oh, I don't get asked whether I have a last question.
Do you have a last question?
No.
Well, glory, hallelujah. And on this positive high note, sing it, mama.
Mm.
Say goodbye.
Lovely.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.
Thank
you. I'm going to let it shine everywhere I go.
This is CliffCentral.com.